Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists, they did. They got it right. They absolutely got it right. And this is Tom Navulis, your host, and I am so delighted that you are back with me again this week. And things are happening faster and faster and faster. It's always amazing. And, you know, if you have read the promo of the program, what you're seeing is that I called it Escape from Chaz. And, you know, the reason I did that, I don't know if you remember the movies way back. I think it was, I don't even remember the actor's name because, you know, I'm not one that follows all of that stuff. But I do remember the movie Escape from New York and Escape from L.A., and now it's Escape from Chaz, except with a whole different twist to it. In this case, instead of it being prisons that all of the anarchists, the wacko and wild people are sent to, they're, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that's it. They're voluntarily creating those types of environments. Yeah, that's it. I get it. You know, it's not even having to ponder this whatsoever. And especially with the fact that there are no police, no real law enforcement. So as we're seeing the development of this Capitol Hill autonomous zone being facilitated by a communist, because I'll call them what they are from now on. That's exactly what they are. They hate America. They hate everything about us. And the fact of the matter is they are creating their, I guess, their perfect societies, but yet they're placing demands on the United States and demands on every other state in the nation to take care of their little enclave. And worse, look at what's happening in New York. Look what is happening in L.A. The fact of the matter is they are creating those areas that we're not sending people to, but they're creating areas that have no regular police force, have no rule of law except the socialist leftist rule of law, and they are creating their own policing. So we can go through a lot of different references, and I'm going to give you, there's a few down there that what came out in the newsletter and the references that are there at the website at SamuelAdamsReturns.net. My expectation is that you're at that point now in this whole thing with all the insanities, with the Chi-Com flu insanity and all of that, that you're doing your own research. And quite frankly, what we're seeing is that these places are doing things. They're establishing themselves as a, you know, little nation, if you will. And now they have border walls. Border walls. Wait a minute. Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and all of the other socialist communist group said no wall. No wall. And yet, what do? They're putting up border walls. And then on top of that, what do you have? You have the city of Seattle, the mayor's office, taking and making sure that they receive concrete barriers that are paid for by the rest of taxpayer dollars to take and do what? Fortify and erect the border walls. So here you have that and a Governor Inslee, that leftist communist, is taking and allowing that to happen within his state to the extent that they're encouraging it. And then they want, send us food, send us supplies, and oh yeah, send us more ammunition. Oh, they're not publicly noting that, but as you've seen in Breitbart or, you know, someone that went in. I'm going to have to make sure that it is added to the information on the archive, where there was a reporter that went in, might have been somebody from the Federalist, I think maybe that's what it was, that went in there and interviewed all these people that are taking control of that six-block area. And when you look at the size of that six-block area, that's pretty significant. Oh, and don't forget, you know, if they do not like you, if they believe that you're a Christian, if they believe that you are against abortion, if they figure out that you do not give in to their demands, you're chased out of the area. Literally chased by mobs. Wow. So our founders were correct in taking and looking at the whole idea of what is a democracy? Yeah. A democracy is, in fact, mobocracy that is sustained by a dictator utilizing a self-designed policing organization of thugs and little tyrants. That's what Antifa is full of. That's what these anarchists are full of. That is what they're doing. That is what they're promoting. And if you don't take and like what they're all about, then you know what? They'll chase you out. Maybe that should be some kind of poetry. If you don't like what they're about, they'll just chaz you out. So how do you escape? Are there those that are leaving? You know, we're hearing the dribblings of news, but most people want to stay in their homes and kind of lock themselves in. Talk about the ultimate Chi-Com flu lockdown, you know? And I guess when you run low on supplies, you're going to have to escape from Chaz. So in that comparison, and when I was kind of notating that in the promo that you got on Friday, is that the whole thing comes down to is that, you know, you have what's really going on are the cauldron of cultivated indoctrination frothing and boiling over with the witch's brew of anarchy and Bolshevism. And that is running the whole aspect of what Chaz is, as well as the riots throughout the whole land, and is facilitated by the larger churches, is facilitated by bureaucrats and politicians that have no God-mindedness and have no foundational truth that has been inculcated in their lives. Instead, they are, yes, children of the 60s and 70s and worse into the 80s and worse as it got to the 90s and more of what we're seeing in the destruction of education. So I guess, you know, to me, the best thing that has happened to us is shutting down the universities, shutting down all of education to the extent that we really have to revisit it. We really have to revisit and find out, is it worth taxpayer dollars? You know, I've said for decades, 20, 30, 40 years, that the public education system has been broken. There are those that have said it longer than myself. I mean, when I take and I look at the books by John Stormer or Cleon Skousen or a number of others, have proven that the public education system is doing nothing but indoctrination, and now we're living through that. And then secondly with that, yeah, you're right. I'm not going to let you pastors and churches off. We're not following through on what I keep talking about with what? The who. The who? Let me hear it again. I've got my hand up to my ear, my good ear, where I can listen. Or is that my bad ear? Anyway, my good ear. And what we're saying here is that, no, actually, Kathy just laughed at me. It's my bad ear I had my hand up to. So, all right. So what is it? It is none other than those chaplains and clergy of the American Revolution. Jeez. And that's something that we're going to talk about in the second segment from last week's program in Sam Adams' 1771 letter called Candidus that I referenced. In there, he quotes from Zwingli, is the more common name than Adams having referred to Zwinglius. And that is the longer proper name, or one of the pseudonyms of representing Ulrich Zwingli. And you note that in my promotion that came out on Friday. So it's interesting is that as we look at what happened in the Reformation, and not just there in Zurich, but what started happening throughout all of Switzerland, and then what started happening in Scotland in relationship to that, it comes down to leaders submitting to God. And we don't have that. We don't have leaders that are submitting to God. Therefore, what we do is we have leaders that are taking a knee to anarchists, I mean antichrist. Oh, no, I said it right. Anarchist, not anti. No, well, they are antichrists. And because there's all sorts of antichrists, not the antichrist, but all sorts of antichrists. And Black Lives Matters, who is something that has been established by communist women that hate men, and do the research on that, and you'll find exactly what that's all about, and trying to destroy men and manhood in this country. So when we look at that, then we have to take a look at our founding again, and that those chaplains and clergy during that period of the Revolution, although they may have had some theological differences, for the most part, they were all on the same page when it came to the reality and fact that Christians, because the majority of the people were, needed to be involved in governance. They needed to be involved in their towns. They needed to be involved in their cities. They needed to be involved in their colonies becoming states, and what that meant to bring moral leadership, God-fearing leadership, to have justice in the land. And the reason we don't have justice in the land, we'll also take up a little bit in the next segment as we reference that whole idea of what our new friend Ulrich Zwingli had to say. I'll give you a little background on him, and then as we jump to that third segment today, I'm trying to figure out is that when we talk about the walled zones of miscreants, and what is a miscreant, and you know, what does that mean, and how does that reference then into everything else that we're seeing from the Supreme Court decisions that have come out this past week. And at this point in time, I will have to tell you that my opinion is that those majorities and those dramatic opinions that came out, they are miscreants. And you'll understand that more when we talk about the definition of a miscreant in the third segment of Samuel Adams Returns. So it's really important to understand that Sam Adams, he had it right. He understood. He understood God and governance and what it meant to have a moral background for good government, and that that's what we needed. That's what we needed to promote. And the expectation would be that the pulpits would promote that. And once again, as I always say, is that the anti-federalists, the majority of the anti-federalists understood that, understood those Christian roots, and understood what it meant to have good government, under God for liberty and justice for all. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this second segment of Samuel Adams Returns. Those what? Yeah, you know this one. Those anti-federalists, they do. They got it right. And this is Tom Navolis, your host. And I am, again, delighted that you're here. And yes, what is it that we do this segment every week? And why? Well, we do a great promotion of Liberty Works Radio Network every week because it's important that we do that. As you look at all the other hosts and hostesses on the network and you see what that live programming is every evening of the week and all of the others that are on the weekend like myself. But what's really, really there? It's all about you. It's about your liberty. It's about your freedom, and that you need to find that donate button there at LibertyWorksRadioNetwork.com and do what? Yeah, hit that button. Make a donation. You're the ones that keep the network up, running, and keeping it informative with truth and with foundational truth. There's so many of the other hosts and hostesses that we have so much in common when it comes to trying to present the truth that is no longer being presented out there. A lot of hype, little truth, and we try to bring the truth. All right, so we're just going to kind of roll back in. We were kind of finishing up with Escape from Chaz, and that when we're looking at that autonomous zone, creating its own little entity and being supported by the governor of Washington and all the insanities there in Seattle and all of that. Wow. And then when we start looking at the cutting back of police, I think that it's going to be extremely interesting to see what really happens with New York and LA. Will they become those walled cities that, what, they have people wanting to escape from, just like they do in Chaz right now. Also, something interesting, I'm going to mention it, and it's there in your references for you to check out. There is this thing that could happen and is starting to happen, is a migration, especially for those that are conservatives and Christians, out of all of these other blue states. And it's real interesting in that there were many people there that were kind of hunkering down, trying to see if they could really change things. But, you know, when businesses get burnt and when we have going on what we're seeing in the third segment, when we talk about the Supreme Court decisions and what that means then to religious liberty, wow. Wow, wow, wow. People may be escaping in droves, in the hundreds, if not thousands, from the likes of Washington State, or at least, you know, going out of Western Washington to Eastern Washington, California, Oregon, you know, some of the other very leftist states people may migrate from. A very interesting article, a blog post that I read by Pastor Doug Wilson is in the links below and in the reference section on the program archive page at SamuelAdamsReturns.net. And he takes a really good explanation at the biblical rationale of getting out of Dodge. So I think it's something that, you know, people could take a good look at. It makes perfect sense to me. And, you know, if your name's Abraham and you're hungry, you don't want to go to Egypt, but you may want to go to Idaho. You know, I don't know. You can go, you know, deal with some good stuff there and have a lot of potatoes to eat. But, you know, other than that, that's something that's going on. But when we look at it, one of the things that I talked about in this program, when I titled this program, was, again, the political theology. And as I mentioned in the opening statements of the program today, I was referencing back, and I thought it would be wise to kind of just jump in a little bit on the history of the Reformation and to look at why would, and this was always one, because, you know, as I'm writing this new book on Samuel Adams, the last Puritan, that I want to find out, and is why, you know, is he called the last Puritan? And then why in this letter from 1771 would he take and he quote one of the most early reformers of the Protestant Reformation? So what did I have to do? As I always do, I went ahead and jumped in and pulled out my references and, you know, started digging in once again on, you know, who is this character of Ulrich Zwingli? And I have it more deeply there for you in the references. You can go in, follow all those links. But the important part that Sam Adams was looking at, because as I've mentioned remotely in the past, is that Sam Adams is what a lot of the mainstream Christians don't like today. And that is that Sam Adams was a theonomist. He really believed in theonomy. And what's theonomy? Theonomy is very simple definition, means that it is following the laws of God. So what was it? Last month, I think it was, sometime in May, I did the program. I'll catch it up in the references when in the blog post for today's program. In there, I talked and asked a question, is God the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow? You know, we have a lot of Christian pastors out there that, you know, blab it out of their mouths, oh, God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But the question becomes, do they really believe that? And then when you take and you start looking at things from a theological perspective, there are those that argue, well, you know, a lot of that stuff in the Old Testament isn't relevant anymore. And not just meaning the sacrificial components, which Jesus completely fulfilled, but they're talking about a lot of the remaining Mosaic references, including that on how government operates. But when we really look at what those Mosaic references were, and that Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, actually came to him in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and defined what republicanism, not a Republican Party, but what republicanism is, what we have, in fact, is exactly that of a representative government with what? In the case of Moses, and the fact that God would be the ultimate head of the nation. And remember, that's what God intended for Israel, was to be the ultimate head of the nation and the leader of the nation up until the people were whining and they were crying, oh, Samuel, we want a king. We want a king so we could be like everybody else. And God said, yeah, you're going to get one, but you're not going to like what you get. And there you go. When we look at that Reformation period and with Zwingli, you know, he was a Catholic priest. He studied the Bible. He studied the Gospels. In particular, the first place he started preaching out of was Matthew. And then he started preaching the letters of Paul in their full context. And then even to answer a lot of the other arguments, he started preaching out of Peter. And the bottom line is that he ended up being the head of all of the religious and church within Zurich, that whole city-state. And back in the 1400s, it was that. It was a city-state. So it was like its own country inside of Switzerland, if you will, the larger area, because there were all these things called cantons where they all kind of were like the states, and they had all these agreements to be like the United States, and they kind of all came like counties within a state. So that's what the cantons of Switzerland were all about. And what we had there is that Zwingli, as he started to understand the Bible in its full meaning and context, it came down to the bottom line that he actually had great spiritual influence with all the leadership, to the extent that he had that form of theological theonomy that the leaders within the secular portions were also heads of certain aspects of church government as well. Well, a lot of the other reformers, definitely, with Calvin and all of that, they took and made sure that there was that separation, but the necessity of having the secular leaders, those leaders of government, needing to be Christians and needing to have that moral foundation upon which they can make decisions. So Zwingli, I mean, he was all about that. And there were all these other things that you have to read for yourself and the references that I have there. I mean, he and Luther had some issues, with the Lutherans of the day over what the Eucharist is. You know, what does that represent? And we're not going to get into all of that. But at the same time, he was the one that said, no, we as biblical believers, there's no differentiation. There's no separation of state and church that doesn't exist. There is a melding within the context of, you know, functional operations. And I think that, you know, with the Scottish reformers understood that a lot better, and I'm not going to get into them. But what Sam Adams was talking about in his quote was a fact about maintaining liberty, about what does that mean to have that structure of liberty. And, you know, Zwingli, well, you don't know, but I'm going to tell you right now, is that Zwingli was such a patriot, no different than many of those patriots that I read to my grandkids about in the Chaplains and Clergy of the Revolution, is that he strapped on a sword and went to battle. He was a preacher. He was so smart that they put him way up there with Luther and Melanchthon and Calvin. And they said here that, you know, he was equal in honesty of purpose, integrity of character, heroic courage, and devotion to the cause of the Reformation, and surpassed them liberally. Is predominant in intellectual traits were clear and strong, strong, something that we talk about a lot, common sense. Zwingli had a lot of common sense, and he was not afraid to be a patriot sufficient that from the pulpit to the battlefield upon which he died at an early age. So there's Sam Adams' reference, you see. Sam Adams understood that. And as I've talked to you in a number of other programs, is that Sam Adams understood that to have a country that is fair, to have a country that has justice, to have a country that understands what good governance is all about, and therefore a good government, we had to have moral and virtuous people. And the only place you get that is if the pulpits are building those moral and virtuous people. And as many of us know that listen to this program, a lot of that is not there any longer. And especially, it just gets me. Hey, where is the common sense? As Kathy and I always talk about, common sense and common courtesy are no longer common. Well, I have to tell you, that's something that Sam Adams highly promoted within his own children and within a number of other people as he always engaged in them. And that just comes out of all of those basics, like George Washington knew when he wrote all of those fundamental principles of what it means to be, you know, a decent human being. So when we take and we start looking at all these facts and truths, we have to basically reference back to these founders and to understand where did they get their ideas, all the way back into the beginning of the Reformation for the most part. And so when we look, and as I'm continuing to develop all of the content for that book on Sam Adams, The Last Puritan, I always have to go back to very basics of truth and the fundamentals of what it takes to have a moral religious people for good governance. Sam Adams understood it. He got it right. And those anti-federalists, they absolutely understood that. And they predicted what we have today. So come on back for the third segment. We'll see you in a couple minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this third segment of Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists, they got it right. And yeah, I am so excited to welcome back into this third segment all of you screaming eagles out there. You know who I'm talking about at SoaringEagleRadio.com. It's really exciting to have you join us. I'd suggest you go back and listen to the second segment as I give a little bit more on that political theology discussion around Ulrich Zwingli, one of the famous reformers. In fact, one of the things I didn't say is that he was ahead of Martin Luther by a good year in what he did in proclaiming liberty in the relationship to what that meant from the Catholic Church and all of the various things that were in the Catholic Church that he did not see were biblical. So that's something you got to study for yourself. And, you know, it's always a fun discussion with all of my very good Catholic friends out there as well. But as we continue, one of the other things that I want to mention with Dr. Mike Spaulding, and I want to thank you, Dr. Mike, is that there it is. Yes, you're seeing it there on the bottom of the screen, is the GoThereForConference.com. That'll be again here on July 24th coming up. Get on there, get registered, go to the end of the program, be it the podcast or the video on YouTube, and see or listen to and see the promotion for the GoThereConference.com. And sign up. I am going to be one of the speakers again at the conference, and we will be having a fantastic time as we consider what now, church? What's it all about? What do you do? Where are you going? What is it? And the historical basis for a number of the things that we will be talking about. Now, as we get into this last segment, one area that wanted to kind of drive it back to, as I titled today's program, Political Theology Escape from Chaz, the definition that I'm looking at on these walled zones, whether it's going to be what's happening in that Capitol Hill autonomous zone or in any of these major cities and even some of the minor cities that are having all of these riots. We know that there's the injustices out there, and as I finished the last segment, that the only way to have true justice is to have a true relationship with the living God and to understand how that then fits into and operates from that point of good governance with moral and virtuous leaders. I mean, okay, stop a second. I'm going to take you back just a little bit to a couple weeks ago, and what we have going on there is when, just a reminder, I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole with this, but I want to just do it as a reminder, is just to remember that when de Tocqueville came to America, what was his first intent in coming to America? I'm kind of putting my hand up to my bad ear because I know that I won't hear any answers out there. And that is because he came to find out why we did not have all the people in prison as they did in Europe. Kind of bass-ackwards now in so many different ways. But the bottom line as to why we didn't have so many people in prison is because our judicial system utilized biblical standards up through those early 1800s in how they would adjudicate a case. A lot of it was biblically, you stole something, pay it back. You broke something, fix it or replace it. You killed an animal that didn't belong to you, pay for it, replace it, or go to the farm and work off the value. Oh, you didn't take in, you stole something from somebody. What was your need? Oh, you got to repay it. You know, you got to repay it for sure. And maybe somebody would be able to help you figure out what your need is and help you get through your troubled time. Sure is different than just, you know, slamming people in the pokey for a lot of different things that, I'm telling you, we got more laws and regulations than Carter's got pills and China's got rice. Oh, yeah, they don't grow a lot of rice. Or China's got soybeans. Oh, no, they don't grow that many soybeans. They're buying soybeans from us. Oh, forget it. You get the point. And the point is that, it's goofy because it's godless. Okay, it's goofy because it's godless, which takes me to these walled areas or, you know, getting rid of the police or taking and just, you know, dissolving this and tearing down our statues, ripping out our history. You know, that's why I said about the Bolsheviks earlier was that's exactly what the Bolsheviks did. They took everything in Russia and tore it apart. Everything about the history, everything about what was meaningful to the people.
Because it wasn't just, it wasn't fair. We make to just and make it fair.
Well, you know, we don't have that type of accent going on with Black Lives Matter or Antifa and all of those folks. No, they are miscreants. Let me say that again without the in there. They are miscreants. Okay, Tom, what in the world is a miscreant? Sounds like some mythological creature of some nature, you know, one of those that got the bull's head and the horns and all of that. No, that's not a miscreant. That's something else. Go look up your Greek mythology. A miscreant, by definition, is a person who behaves badly or in a way that breaks the law. Oh, and here's how it's used. The police are straining every nerve to bring the miscreants to justice. Wow, not anymore. They're being told to stand down. So what are some of the, you know, in the thesaurus, when you start looking at what else is there for a miscreant? What are they all about? They're criminals, they're culprits, they're wrongdoers, offenders, villains, they're lawbreakers. Ah, evildoers or convicts, they're delinquent. Here's one that kind of encapsulates all of us from one way or another, one degree or another. Sinners, transgressors. That's what Jesus called us. That's what God calls us in the Word of God. We're sinners, we're transgressors. So when we're looking at all of these people that are out there, and I take that all into consideration, you know, you can have all of your constitutional conservative hoopla and, you know, the Constitution and this is happening and all that's going on. But when it comes down to it, they're sinners and they're not willing to hear the Word of God, or they are being supported by theology that is so messed up that those preachers and elders and religious leaders can't hear the Word of God, and they're just off there doing their own thing. You know, it's kind of like Jesus' time, you know? So here you have the Sanhedrin, which is made up of the high priest and the leaders and the other priest and all of those folks that are there at the temple and, you know, so on and so forth. And Jesus had to call them out and say what they were. They were sinners and transgressors. And oh my. Yeah. They were also the political leaders. Yeah. Geez. We still had there and then at Jesus' time, the church leaders were the political leaders as well. Wow. That's pretty interesting. So I think that's why, you know, you take and you go back into the last segment a little bit about Zwingli, understanding that of church leadership and then the state leadership and how that all works and how it ties together from the Mosaic perspective and everything. But two things that we have to look at. What do we got? 7 minutes left? 5 minutes left, Kath. Just let me know. folks, I guess the only thing I can say from what do we do now, what do we do next? I didn't even talk yet about the Supreme Court decisions, two very simple ones, okay, is that the first one, which is, again, Justice Roberts goes down the narrow path of perdition and joining in with the leftists and taking what everybody that really understands the Constitution and all of the various laws and relationship, even the 14th Amendment, so on and so forth, is that he just destroyed what it means to be a citizen, even under the 14th Amendment, by taking and giving all the DACA people and saying that what Obama did with DACA was legal, when we all know that he acted illegally within the context of that executive order. They know it, but once again, you have Justice Roberts, who I think is on the string of many of those people, and I was just doing my puppet moves out there, folks. Yeah, Justice Roberts is on the string of his puppet masters, and he went with the left on DACA. The most disastrous thing that happened out of the court this time is that what happened around the churches and with all of the LGBT transgender having a capacity to be the word sex in the 1964 Civil Rights Act going beyond a man and a woman and now including whatever you think you are. That is absolutely wrong. And the one that is most disappointing in that decision, who wrote the majority opinion, is Neil Gorsuch. He is not a Scalia constitutionalist by virtue of that. So what do we do? Well, the first and foremost thing is what we do. It's not a political solution as much as it is fundamentally getting back to what's happening in our churches. What is the truth of the gospel according to the fundamentals of the reformers, and what does that mean when we have to look at that from a what the Puritans came over to America for, what all of our early escapees from England and from France and from Germany and from even Italy and Spain that came to America for biblical religious freedom. Biblical religious freedom. So when you take and you look at the model of American liberty, it is absolutely based on those fundamentals within the Mosaic definition of biblical God-given liberty, and that our government should function within the context of that. So the bottom line is the first thing you can do is pray. Understand what it means to pray for these miscreants, including ourselves, you know, as sinners and transgressors, and, you know, pray for their salvation, that God would reach down into their hearts and take and bring them out of that so that they would understand what the light is that he gives, because there's no liberty, there's no justice outside of Jesus. It's just not there. So if you think you're going to find that from A.G. Barr, you're going to get it from the, obviously not the Supreme Court, or you're going to get it by, you know, some elected official or something like that, wrong answer. You're not going to find it there. You got to find justice. You got to find liberty. You got to find truth. And the only place you're going to find it is in Jesus. End of story. Okay? Number one, pray for the miscreants. Pray for them. Pray that God then takes and reforms the churches. We need to have a reformation. We need to see that return to that biblical foundation that the likes of our founders had. And remember, the first great awakening, we need that great awakening. And we need to have that where we will establish those truth and justice and liberty will only come from it when the pulpits start to preach it again, as they did during our founding era. You know, not era, but era. So that's the real fundamentals of what you need to act and carry out and do. And then, yeah, be a citizen. Get involved. You know, vote. Get out there and do what you need to do as Sam Adams did and those anti-federalists, because what?
They got it right.